I'm just going to just begin by inviting you to turn in your Bibles with me to John, the book of John, chapter 16. John is the fourth book of the New Testament. So just a couple things. If you're here today and you forgot your Bible, it's no problem. We're going to have the scriptures on the screen for you. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, so not that you forgot it, you don't even have one, our ushers are going to be coming forward right now in the aisles, and if you want to raise your hand, we just want to give you a Bible today. That's from King's Corner, and you can have this Bible. This is a gift for you. Take it home. This is yours, okay? And they have more. We have more than they're carrying, too, so if we need more, don't worry about it. Awesome. Okay. So we know in this scripture in John chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 33, we know that Jesus is talking here because every time Jesus talks in the Bible, it's in red letters, okay? So this is Jesus, and this is what Jesus has to say. In the world, you will have tribulation. Can anyone attest to that today? Jesus makes it very clear. You will have. You can expect tribulation in your life in this world. This world is full of tribulation. It's full of distress and strife and pain and sorrow and wickedness and heartache. And not one of us in this room is exempt from the tribulation of this world. You will have tribulation. It rains on the unrighteous and the righteous. Is that true? This is a world where kids go to schools and kill kids. I can't even begin to imagine the sorrow and the grief of Parkland community in Florida. What a horrible, horrible tragedy. We need to pray for them and those families. They need our prayer. Amen? And that's probably the most recent example of the type of world that we live in. Not a day, not an hour, not even a minute will go by without pain and suffering in this world. But there is endless problems and trials and struggles. It's just one fight and one issue and one storm and one problem after another. I'm sure that there's many of you here today that you're in tribulation right now. You're struggling. You're fighting to stay above water. You're hurting. Maybe you're in strife in relationships. Maybe there's you're in a difficult circumstance or trial, and it's hard. And it's painful, and it's tough. In this world, you will have tribulation. Aren't you so glad that that's not the end of the scripture? Wouldn't it be something if I came up here and I said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Let us pray. And we're dismissed. No. That's not the end of the story. It doesn't end in despair. And this is something I want you to hear today. Nothing ever ends in despair with Jesus. Amen. Did you catch that? Okay. Nothing ever ends in despair with Jesus, but there's always hope in Jesus. Let's read the rest of the scripture. Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be nervous. Don't be moved by the circumstances. Don't fear. Don't get upset. But be confident, be courageous, and be filled with joy because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus is saying in this scripture, I've got you. My victory is complete, it's ongoing, and it's everlasting. This tribulation that you're in right now, it's not going to be the end of you. This enemy is not going to have the last word. But there's hope today that no matter what you're going through, no matter what the storm, no matter what the heartache, the struggle, the trouble, you can overcome because Jesus has overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying that there's nothing that can happen to you in this world that will overtake you or defeat you because I am the great I am. I am your banner, he says. I am your portion. I am the solid rock. I am your victory. Jesus has overcome the world. And something that I want us to understand today is that God has built you and is building you in such a way that you can not only withstand and endure troubles and trials and battles and enemies, but so that you can overcome them. God has built you tough. Is that true? You might not be feeling tough right now, but I'm telling you, in Jesus Christ, you are tough. And you might have to go through the fire. But the point is you will go through the fire. Did you catch that? You can find victory in the fire. How many of you remember that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Three men refused to bow down to a golden idol and worship a false god. The king was so enraged by that at the time that he commanded them, those three men, to be thrown into a fiery furnace. The fire was so hot, the Bible said, that it killed the soldiers that threw them into the furnace. But then all of a sudden, there were four people in the fire. Jesus met them in the fire. And they came out unharmed. Not a hair on their head was singed. They found victory in the fire. But please understand today, they first had to go in the fire, and then God brought them through the fire. Right? In this world, you will have tribulation. You will. There'll be fire. And you're going to have to go in it. But God's not going to leave you there. He's going to help you go through. Romans chapter 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things. That means we're going to go in those things. But in those things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How many of you know that you're not a conqueror today? You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. In the fire, in the tribulation, you are more than conquerors in Jesus. In Jesus, you are built tough. Amen. Are you ready to be encouraged today? After last week, I think I didn't have a choice but to encourage you today. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. God, I just thank you that we can worship you and your presence is here and so strong and amazing and your love is here. And we can still have fun in your house and it pleases you and it makes you laugh and gives you a smile. We thank you, God, for that. We thank you that we're not living, that this church is not that legalistic, that we're not living by the law, that we're not uptight, but that we can have freedom in the Spirit of God today. We thank you for that, Lord. And God, I just pray right now that we're going to just be settled in our hearts and in our minds. And God, I just pray that we're going to hear your voice today. We're going to hear this spoken word. We're going to hear your written word. And God, we're going to hear that rhema word, that specific word that you have for every person here today, whether they know you or don't know you, whether they love you or they don't love you, you've got a word for them today. And I pray that we're going to hear that word today and not just be hearers, but we're going to be doers of that word, that we're going to respond to your word today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
First thing I want to talk about is how we have a tough faith. God wants to build in you a tough faith. You know, sometimes I think it's really natural and normal for us to ask the question, why? You know, we're going through a hard time, and it says, God, why do I have to go through this? God, why am I still going through this? God, why do I have to suffer and go through pain? And why do I have to have the struggle and the storms and the circumstances? Why are you allowing this to happen to me, God? Why can't you just supernaturally step in right now when I ask you to and end this trouble and end this struggle? Why can't you do that, God? And this is the truth of it right here. God cares more about your character than your comfort. God cares more about your character than your comfort. He wants us to grow and mature. He wants to build and strengthen our faith. He wants to make us ready for upcoming trials and troubles. He wants to develop our perseverance. He wants to make us tough. So he's going to allow us to go through the hardship and the pain and the trials and the troubles of this world so we'll be tough enough for what's coming next. Are you tough enough? As Natasha had mentioned earlier, I had the pleasure of coaching the senior girls basketball team at Harvest City. And two of those girls young women, I should say, are on the senior women's team here. And could you guys just stand for a second? We got Charity Mbugua and Emily Taylor. You can decide which one is which. And now, when you look at these young women, to me, you're still little girls. I'm sorry, you're always going to be that way. But these are young women. When you look at these young women, you guys, just look around. Let's let everyone see you for a minute. Okay? Now, they're smiling, and they're sweet, right? They look sweet. They look delicate. That is not true. These girls are tough. Okay? These are two of the toughest girls that I've ever coached. Okay? Emily, on my left here, Emily, she played in severe pain for 5 years because of issues and conditions with her legs. And she played through it. She's tough. Okay? Charity, I've got a story about Charity that I want to share. You guys can sit down. Thank you. You guys are like, can we sit down? Yes. See, the girls didn't always start tough. Okay? But I think Emily was in grade 7 and Charity was in grade 8. When I first started coaching the senior basketball team at Harvest City. Anyway. And there was one practice in particular I remember where Charity got hit in the mouth. So I don't remember the circumstances around if someone hit you in the face with their hand or you got elbowed in the face, but she got hit in the mouth and she was bleeding from her mouth. And right away that we're doing a drill and the girl stopped and I'm like, what's going on? Charity just got hit in the mouth. And my reaction was, okay, well, let's run it again. And coach, Charity's bleeding. Look at her, she's bleeding. And my reaction was, okay, let's run it again. Coach, she's bleeding. She's got blood in her mouth. And I don't know if you remember this, but I told you, just lick it. I said, just lick it. Just lick it. When you feel it bleeding, just lick it. You're fine. Right? Let's run it again. Okay? And you have to understand, okay, I was okay with Charity being hurt. I was okay with it. I was okay with her bleeding. Right? I wasn't happy about it. I didn't cause that to happen to you, but I was okay with it. Do you know why? Because I knew what was coming ahead. I knew what games of basketball are like. I knew that she was going to face more adversity in the game than she did in that practice. I mean, all of you that played basketball here, how many times have you been hit in the face when you play basketball? 1,000? Right? And I knew it's going to be worse. So I want her to be tough. And it was okay for the rest of the team to see that. Right? Because it sends a message to them. We got to toughen up. Right? We got to be able to take a licking and keep on ticking. Right? Life is tough. God is making us tough because he knows what's ahead. He knows what's coming next. He knows the world is tough. He knows greater adversity is coming. So he's going to make us tough because he wants to make sure that we can endure and that we can overcome in Jesus. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This scripture is saying that we can actually be filled with joy in the fire. That we can consider it pure joy when we're going through the trial. Because we know that God's not ignoring us, but he's allowing us to get tough. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us go through the fire. He doesn't want you to be stuck in the fire. He wants you to go through. Everything you're going through right now, God has prepared you in previous trials and battles, and now he's making you tougher for what comes next. James chapter 1 and verse 2, when we saw that scripture, it said that he wants to develop perseverance in us. Perseverance. He doesn't want us to quit. The enemy wants you to quit. The enemy wants you to give up. He wants you to quit on your marriage. He wants you to quit on your kids. He wants you to quit on your health. He wants you to quit on hope and peace and joy and righteousness and freedom. The enemy wants you to embrace fear. He wants you to look at the circumstance and respond in fear and quit. God wants to develop your perseverance. He wants to develop in you a stubbornness. He wants to develop in you a determination, a grit. He wants to build your faith. A tough faith doesn't quit, but a tough faith perseveres. It keeps going. He wants you to get to that point that nothing is going to stop you from going through the fire in Jesus Christ. I remember my son, we got quite a few kids at Youth Quake this weekend, teenagers, but our teens, but my son Isaiah, he's 14 now. And I remember when he was a little guy and I was teaching him how to ride a bike. And one time he took a pretty good spill. And he scraped his hands and he scraped his knees and he's bleeding and he's crying and he wanted to quit. And he was ready to go inside. I said, no, Isaiah, you can't go inside. You can't quit. But Dad, I'm hurt and I'm bleeding and I don't want to do this. No, Isaiah, I can't let you do that. I need you to get back on. I need you to keep fighting. I need you to keep trying. I need you to keep going, right? Because what has going to happen if he quit? I don't know if he'd ever get back on again, right? And God wants to develop that kind of perseverance with us. And you know what? He didn't like me for a little bit. He was pretty upset at me. How many of you have ever been a little upset at God? I think he's okay with it. I think he's okay with it because he loves you and he wants the best for you and he's more concerned about your character than your comfort. That's right. That's the kind of tough faith that he's trying to build in us. We need that Jacob kind of fight in us. In Genesis chapter 32, remember when Jacob wrestled with God all night long. Physically wrestled with God. Can you believe that? And when then God decided that's enough, what did Jacob say? No. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in until you bless me, God. I'm not gonna let go. That's what God wants us to do. To get to that point where we say, I'm not gonna stop fighting. I'm not gonna stop believing. I'm not gonna stop hoping. I'm not gonna stop declaring your truth. I'm not gonna stop, God, until you get me through this fire. We need that kind of tough faith, and that's what he's trying to develop in us. Do you know that act of faith is one of the most unnerving, frightening, intimidating thing that you could ever do to the enemy? Did you know that? Look at Philippians chapter 1. It says, and in no way be alarmed or intimidated in anything by your opponents. For such constancy and fearlessness on your part is a clear sign, a proof, and a seal for them of their impending destruction. But a clear sign for you of deliverance and salvation, and that too from God. When you're in a trial, when you're in a hardship, a battle, and it seems like the enemy is winning and the world is absolutely kicking your butt, instead of embracing fear and giving up and living defeated lives, you decide to activate that Jacob kind of not gonna give up, refuse to lose kind of faith. If you want to see hairs stand up on a demon, then you get up after you took his best shots and you dust yourself off and you say, is that all you got? I'm not going anywhere, but I'm going through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a clear sign to the enemy that they're defeated and you're victorious. You know, I think one of the things that the enemy uses to try and make us give up is he tries to make us be moved by what we see instead of by what we know. So all we're seeing is the physical manifestation of the battle, of the trial. And it seems like you're losing. It seems like you're getting beat. There is a man who owned an art gallery, an art museum. And he was just given a tour to one of his friends. And his friends was just looking at all the paintings. And he stopped at this one painting. And he started to study this painting, and he said to his friend, you know what, there's something wrong with this painting. And the painting was a picture of the devil playing chess with a human, and the human was in checkmate. And the title of the painting was Checkmate. And checkmate means that there was no more moves, that the devil had won. And in the painting, the devil has this big grin from ear to ear because he won, because he beat him. He said, you know what, this is not right. There's something wrong with this painting. You're going to have to tell the painter, the artist, that there's a mistake here, or else you're going to have to bring it down because it doesn't match the title. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, this person's not in checkmate. He said, the king still has one more move. You know, it might seem like you're losing the battle. It might seem that the enemy is big that's standing before you. It might seem that you are broke, busted, and disgusted. But God wants to tell you today, the king still has one more move. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. It's not over. The king still has one more move. And it might be the midnight hour. and darkness is closing in. But I need you to know today that the king still has one more move. And just when you think it's all over and you're going to burn up in the fire, God's going to show up and he's going to take you through. He just wanted you to know that nothing is impossible for him. He just wanted to make sure that you knew it was God that brought you through, and only God that brought you through. That it's not by your might and not by your power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The king still's got one more move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when you go into the fire that you're not alone? That God's with you, but not only is he with you, but he has fully equipped you. I just want to remind you of what you have right now in Jesus, what kind of tough weapons that you have when you're in the trial, when you're in the battle. How many of you know that as a believer in Jesus, that Jesus has given you a legal right to use his name. That he's given you power of attorney so that you can use his name. John chapter 16, 24 tells us that. That when you speak and you pray in the name of Jesus, it's just as if Jesus himself is speaking to the circumstance and speaking to the battle and speaking to the enemy. That when you pray in the name of Jesus, how many of you know that there's no other name that carries the same weight and authority as the name of Jesus? How many of you know that all of heaven and all of hell come to attention at the name of Jesus? That our salvation is in Jesus and no other name. Because there's no other name under heaven among given to men that by which we must be saved, whether you acknowledge Jesus or not. That one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Circumstances change and demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Just start declaring the name of Jesus and watch what happens. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got the Word of God. The Word of God, it's the sword of our of the Spirit. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's alive and it's active. It's full of power to demolish strongholds and cut through all the lies of the enemy, all the things the enemy's trying to do to defeat you and make you quit, all the lies. The Word has the power to cut through that and help you to stand on truth so that you can get through the fire. The Word is life and health to a man's whole body. How many of you need some life and health poured in to your circumstance right now? Then pour in the Word of God. Pour in life. Pour in health. Watch what happens. For every problem, there's a promise. I want to say it one more time. Every problem, there's a promise. Amen? You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the Word of God. You've got the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus made his blood available to us on the cross. Do you know that the blood has the power to wash you clean on the inside? That the blood of Jesus has the power to lift you up out of a pit? How many of you are sitting in a pit this morning? The power of the blood of Jesus can lift you up. There's freedom and deliverance in the blood of Jesus. That the blood of Jesus heals every sickness and disease. How many of you know that by Jesus' stripes we're healed? It has the power to protect us. It has the power to allow us to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and approach that throne of grace with confidence and boldness. How many of you need grace right now in your trial? How many of you need grace in the circumstance, in the battle? There's no weapon and no demon and no devil in all of hell that can stand against the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got the name. You've got the word. You've got the blood. Billy Graham, I need to say this quote. He said, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. And last, we've got the Holy Spirit. As believers in Jesus, we've got the Holy Spirit. At salvation, when we invite Jesus into our heart, he makes us clean. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And if we've got the Holy Spirit, that means we've got the Holy Spirit power. That means we've got the anointing of God available, the same power. Hear this, the same power that came on Samson. How many remember Samson? The same power that came on Samson so that he could tear apart a lion with his bare hands. So he could kill 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. So he could take down a building that held thousands and thousands of people. The same power that was on him is the same power that lives inside of every believer in Jesus Christ. How many of you know that Jesus operated in that power, in that anointing of the Holy Spirit every day? The same power that fed the 5,000, the same power that healed the 10 lepers, the same power that picked up Malchus's ear and put it back on the side of his head. The same power that Jesus stood in front of Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. The same power that rolled away the stone on Resurrection Sunday. That same power lives inside of you. It's not even fair for the devil. It's not even right. It's not even fair. Hallelujah. You can literally do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing. You're not alone in the battle, but you've got the word, you've got the blood, you've got the name, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the power of God with you. Is somebody encouraged today in the battle? Hallelujah. This is the last thing. So we've got tough faith. God makes us tough. We've got some tough weapons. Amen? And we've got a tough God. The battle might be tough, but Jesus is tougher. See, we serve a God who left glory to become a man. That's tough. That's a tough God. We serve a God who went to the cross, even though he didn't have to. We serve a God that took it all. How many of you know this morning that God took all of your shame and all of your sin and all of your punishment? That's a tough God. We serve a God that died so that we could live. Hallelujah. Tough faith, tough weapons, and tough God. You're built tough today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're built tough. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm built tough. And now say, you want to go? Just kidding. And now say, Lakers rule. Anyway. Okay. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. We always just take a few minutes. We're almost done. We just take a few minutes to always to respond to the word and just to respond to what God is talking to you today. You might have experienced something today that you might have never experienced before. And you might have experienced today just an encounter with the one who loves you the most. How many of you know that Jesus loves you the most? And you might have had an encounter with that. Maybe it was during worship. Maybe it was during meet and greet, just experiencing the love of people. Maybe it was during when the men's team, you know, really beat the girls' team badly at that competition. I don't know. Maybe it was humbly. Maybe it was during that message, though. Maybe you heard something or experienced something you never had before. And you know, a lot of you in this room, you understand the hope that I'm talking about in Jesus. And you've experienced that hope, and you've had Jesus help you get through. You've had that. You've experienced it. You know what I'm talking about. But there's some of you here today that maybe you don't know that hope in Jesus. You didn't really understand. You've been to church before, and maybe you attend church, but you just never had that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you just don't understand that intimate relationship that you can have. You just never really understood the hope that you can have in Jesus, the power and the strength and the love that you can have in Jesus. So what I want to do is I just think we'd be wrong to leave here without giving you an opportunity to meet Jesus personally today for the very first time. I mean, personally meet Jesus. And I promise you that when you reach out to Him, He's going to absolutely reach out to you, because He's already reaching out to you. So what I'm going to do is don't worry, I'm going to take care of you, and it's going to be very safe, okay? But I just want everyone just to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Could we do that? Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just don't want anyone looking around right now. This is just a personal moment. And this is a moment where people are making a decision that's going to impact eternity. Eternity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity just to invite Jesus into your heart. So if you're here today and you want to meet Jesus, if you want to meet the one that loves you the most and enter into a personal relationship with Him, This isn't about religion. This isn't about church. This isn't about that kind of stuff. This is about a relationship between you and your Savior. That's what this is. If that's you today, and you'd like to meet Jesus personally, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand with every eye closed and every head bowed. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may put your hands down. And if you raised your hand today, while we still have our head bowed and our eyes closed, I'm just going to invite us to pray right now. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, just to yourself. It's just that personal prayer between you and Jesus. So I'm just going to invite you just to pray this prayer with me. Pray it in your heart. Agree with me. Say, repeat after me if you want, just to yourself, just to yourself. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you so much that you loved us so much that you would send Jesus to die for us. And right now, God, I want to enter into relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. I want to know the one who loves me the most. Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and to come into my life. Please forgive me for all the wrong, all the things I've done against you, God. And I just accept by faith right now that the blood of Jesus is going to wash me clean on the inside. And that I'm forgiven of my sin, and now I'm clean. And I'm holy, and I'm acceptable before God. And God, I pray that this is not going to be just a one-moment experience, God, but now that I'm going to go from here and I'm going to continue in relationship with you. I'm going to continue to learn who you are. I'm going to continue to learn who I am in Jesus. And then I'm going to just grow and grow and grow and grow in my relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to have our prayer team standing by at the end of service here today. So if you're going through some issues and you just need some prayer, okay, please come up. They're going to be here. They're just going to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. For the rest of us, let's do our visiting out of the sanctuary after the service and just let them have this time with the Lord. Also want to invite everyone to One tonight, O-N-E, One. It's our prayer and worship night at 6 o'clock here at the church, 6 to 7:30. Amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Amen. We're dismissed.